Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be.
Ain't
doing alone.
Ain't doing alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Don't use us. Stop using the dope. Wake up.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. Just so grateful and so thankful to still yet be amongst the living, thanking God for his grace, his mercy, and everything in between. Tonight, as we speak about, we believe in oneness. We hope you come on board tonight and you have that same belief factor and you will have an opportunity to be able to go forward and do great things in life, and because you do believe and what you know God strategically put together, and that is oneness between you and your spouse. We want to always just thank God for giving us the ability to come before his throne and be able to believe on what we pray for, declare and decree, and understand that it will be so if we only continue to allow our faith to intervene and allow us to be able to believe that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, that it is done and it will be done. And tonight is no different. We just want to thank God for each and every one of you and your presence tonight. I want to welcome you and thank God for your presence, for thanking God for just freeing up your schedule and allowing you to be here tonight. We just know that if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, none of us would be here. So we come on specifically to give him the glory, honor, and praise. If any of you desire to speak on our topic tonight, that we believe in oneness, all you have to do is simply press 1 on your phone. It will place you in the host queue, and at the appropriate time, Minister Jesse will open up your mic and allow you an opportunity to come on in and speak. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we just want to take this opportunity to just thank you for another day and another opportunity to declare and decree your word and understand exactly what your word is supposed to do when it is sent out in the atmosphere. We come right now just thanking you, Lord God, for giving us the ability to understand and know, Father God, that whatever we want, Father, we should be able to have if only we believe. And so tonight is no different. We believe in oneness, and if you believe in oneness, it should be yours for the taking. And so, Father, for those individuals that truly believe in you and understand the power within you, give them the ability to believe that they, too, can have oneness in their marriage just like we do. And I pray tonight, Lord God, where anyone has missed the mark and where they have not, Lord God, had an opportunity to evaluate, Father, where they are in the oneness that you created for them, give them that opportunity, excuse me, tonight, Lord God, and give them the ability to go forward and be able to do great things with each other as spouses, because we know, Lord God, that it is better, Father God, to be able to solve any problem doing it with more than one person, Father. And we understand and know the power of agreement when you bring two individuals together and they're in holy matrimony. So I pray tonight that you give them the ability to go forward and be able to recognize, know, and understand, Father God, who they are in you. And then on this night, Lord God, I just want to say thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. I love you so much, Lord God, and just want to say thank you once again for giving me the opportunity and the privilege and the ability to declare and decree your word upon every individual under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that you would definitely bless the union that you put together and you would give individuals an opportunity to be able to rejoice and be glad in you because of all that you're doing in the marriages that you strategically put together. Anywhere where we've missed the mark, we just come asking, Lord God, that you give us the ability to recognize what we need to do, and that is to ask for forgiveness or to forgive when someone asks us to forgive them. Let us do just that tonight, Lord God. Let us go forward and be able to start a fresh, something that's new, and let us be able to understand and know that no matter what it looks like right now, that we have the ability to just turn it around, and when we turn it around, we'll turn it around for our good. And so on tonight, Lord God, I just want to just say thank you that every time we get in a position and every time we turn around, you give us the ability to recognize and understand exactly what we need to do. So on tonight, Lord God, I come just thanking you for this opportunity and every opportunity that you give us to go forward and do some great things, Father, in this world that you have us in. I know that our responsibility is to go out and be a blessing to everyone that we come in contact with. And so on tonight, it's no different. Bless us to be a blessing to someone else. For anyone, Father, that don't know you and the pardon of their sins under the sound of our voices, we ask, Lord God, that you prick their heart and allow them, Father, to understand and know that all they have to do is, Father God, come and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Believe and understand that, Father God, you have brought your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and walk this earth, Lord God, so that, Father, you would have an understanding, a better understanding of what it is that we do and the challenges that we battle each and every day. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for just allowing your only begotten Son to come before our very own eyes and be able to walk this earth and do some great things. And so we know, Lord God, that because of who we are in you and because we are, Father God, ambassadors unto you and because of the bloodborne rights you've given us, you told us that we can go out and be able to create some of those same miracles that we know, Lord God, that Jesus Christ had an opportunity to go out and do. So just give us the confidence, give us, Father God, the fact, the belief factor and the faith that we need to go out and accomplish great things on this earth. I love you so much, Lord God, and just want to say thank you once again for this day and every day that you give us to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, amen. Let the church say amen one more time. We praise God and we thank God for the ministry gifts of my wife, Queen, my partner. We just thank God as he continues to bless her in all things. We pray tonight for each and every one of you as we come together on this subject matter. We believe in oneness. Beautiful subject matter, one that we hope and pray that you will get an appreciation for or have an appreciation for, because at the end of the day, that's what we all strive to be. Any of us who have had the opportunity to deal with, to have available to us what we may call a oneness treat. So we thank you tonight as we give God all the glory and all the honor for being here on this side of heaven. because we know and understand that truly, truly, as we think about the flow of what's going on in the world today, we need to have as much focus as possible on this concept of believing in oneness. We must. See, as we mature in life, we began to embrace those things that cause us pain and suffering. God provides us the opportunity to understand the divine. We began to value those many things that happened, but it didn't make sense when it happened or when we think it didn't happen. As we seek the kingdom of God, we begin to experience things that are designed to open our eyes to our call to ministry. And that call is two of them that all of us have. All of us have the call to the ministry of reconciliation. And all of us, if we are married, have the call to the ministry of oneness. So this holds true for marriage and its ability to be sustained, to grow, and for all of us to prosper. So when we look at this concept of belief or believe itself, you know, we need to get a great orientation and understanding of that, because we find out that Jesus himself said in Mark 9:23, a very simple thing. He said, all things are possible if you believe. And then we may remember back in the Old Testament where God himself said that nothing that man can imagine can be constrained from him. So see, if we can imagine something, and then if we can believe it, we can achieve it. But see, there are things that happen in our lives that sometimes make it difficult for us to accept, make it difficult for us to feel sure of the truth thereof, that we might be convinced, that we would have confidence, that we would consider truthfulness and honesty, that we would see those things as having the relevance of giving credence to, or to put our confidence in, to rely on, that we can count on, that we can depend on. And see, that's really what belief is all about, having the belief that's necessary in order for us to satisfy a spouse in a long-term relationship. We live in a world today where everything is so short-term. Everything is just like microwaves, that we find ourselves oftentimes very difficult to simply believe, to simply believe. We oftentimes have conversations with individuals and speaking about their relationships, and most of the time we hear words to the contrary. We hear words that are not suggestive of belief. We hear instead words that are suggestive of unbelief, words that are suggestive of too much fear, too much company, too much separation, isolation, too many things where they're not walking in concert. They're not walking in oneness. See, one of the craziest things that people believe or that we have seen presented to us, and Terry, I know this has gotten you a lot of times as well, is that when people tell us they have a strong desire to be in oneness, they have a strong desire to experience oneness, yet they have a difficult time in truly moving beyond those things that happened today or yesteryear. Now, we thank God, Kevin. I praise God that we know many couples that have been able to get past that, many couples that have been able to live and to experience oneness after 5, 10, 20, 25, 50, 75, and even higher in years of marriage. I actually have an auntie that was married over 70 years. I know that we have friends that have been married over 70 years, 65, 50 years. You know, Tammy's mother and father, or her sister, been over 40, two sisters. I mean, so there are marriages that are out there where people have made the commitment to oneness because they believe in oneness. They may not have used that term or that word oneness. They may have simply used the term marriage. But somewhere over the course of that relationship, they made that commitment to each other. They perhaps didn't even realize what it was when they were going through that point. See, we're told all things are possible if you believe. And the reverse is true as well. All things are impossible if you do not believe. So let's say you have a conversation and you want to get it together and you want to make sure for some kind of reason that you and your spouse are optimizing and edifying each other because you want your relationship to experience and go through this whole concept of oneness. Yet the only thing you can ever think to say about your spouse is something negative. Maybe even not negative from your perspective, but from their perspective, because that's the perspective we have to give consideration. How is my spouse looking at these things? And see, we as humans, we sometimes, well, a lot of times really, we will fall short of our design and ordained purpose. We fall short believing we fail to believe we're able to achieve and experience what is destined for each and every one of us. Now, there are sometimes situations that happen that we can't control, that is beyond our control. And those things that are beyond our control sometimes cause us to have issues in the present. And we have issues in the present when we are not able to get past those things that we have experienced that are called by many our chapters in our book of life. And so we got to get to that point to know and to understand that as we begin to accept those things that we know are very, very necessary, as we begin to have a great understanding of those things we need to believe. It's just like believing in God, to get it fundamental. It's like believing in it's anything. If you don't truly believe in the supernatural, if you do not believe in the Creator, if you do not believe that there is some deity, whatever you may call that deity, there's some force, there's something that's far greater than a human being, then guess what? You are right, because it will not happen in your life. You will not see it take place. I mean, there are so many things that, so many situations that we could share that have happened to us. Just one on the mundane side. Just last week, we went to pick up our car that had been in the shop for almost a couple of months. And we picked it up on that day, last Thursday, I believe it was. And then Tammy was driving one of our cars, and the car she had been driving, I took the one we just got out of the shop, and I took it on home. Well, she went on to go to her work, to go out into the field. And about an hour and a half later, she called me back and said that the car that had not been repaired, the car that we had just taken to Indiana a few days before, it wouldn't start. And I said, I'll be doggone, it wouldn't start. So I said, where are you? And she told me where she was. And once she told me where she was about 2 miles from home, but about a block from the tire people and the battery people, because the battery had just given out, gave up the ghost. I mean, had started every time we went to Indiana, every time on the way back when we made stops, started that morning, the whole nine. But see, when we looked in the system, we saw how long we'd had the car battery. Then we looked at the tires. We saw how long we'd had the tires as well. And we couldn't run a car getting out of here when we was going to go to Indiana. But God blessed it in such a way to say, you won't have to spend that money on a rental car. I'm going to take you there and get you back. And when you get you back, I'm going to have the car. It's going to cut off, a block from the place where you can get the tires and the battery all in one stop. Now, see, some folks, they'll say, oh, that just happened that way. That just happened, chance. No, I don't think like that. See, I believe in favor. We believe in favor. I believe in favor for you as an individual. We believe in favor for you as a couple. And that's what you got to get a hold of as well. You got to get a hold of this thing called favor. You got to begin to believe that oneness will create favor, that oneness will allow favor to take place. But if you're not walking around in a spirit of expectation and a spirit of blessing, then oneness will never show up at your front door. You got to be willing to say, hey, I believe in oneness. I believe that when God calls my husband or my wife to come across our path, it was for a reason. Our main point and our desire every week, each week, is to stress to each of you the need to believe you can battle through the challenges that you will face that come your way. See, we would be not being truthful if we said that to obtain and to walk in the reality of oneness, you will never feel any pain in your marriage, in your relationship. We will be only lying. That's a lie straight from the hell. But the main point is to let you know there is no option for any of us. We must believe that oneness is possible if we want to achieve it. And we must be willing to make the changes necessary to achieve oneness. If we are not willing to make some changes in who we are and who each and every one of us may be, then there's no way we can expect to see changes in our relationship. Too often we hear people say as well, well, only if she would change the way she does that, or if only he would change the way he does that, or only if, only that, all of these conditions, all of these contingencies, that if he did this or she did that, I would do this and then this would be better. Instead of focusing on what is it that I can do to make my relationship resemble what oneness should look like. What is it that prevents us from achieving oneness given God's blessing and his design purpose? Why is it so difficult? And tell me, you know, we ask this question quite often, but why is it so difficult for any of us to understand that oneness takes a lot of work? And whatever it was that may have attracted you to your spouse, whatever that was, you perhaps didn't realize that that same thing could also at some point be a challenging reality, challenging you to a point that you may yourself don't understand what it was. But our desire tonight is to stress to each of us that we need to battle through these challenges. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And so there are some examples we can look at, Tammy, that keep us from realizing what God has made available. And see, most of us may or may not believe this, but we got to get down to the base foundation. And there are many reasons, there are many examples we can point to that lead to our inability to select, evaluate, acquire, develop, and then sustain a oneness relationship. Did you hear that? There are elements involved, and each one of these elements require a unique skill set. First of all, your ability to select. Can you think about for a moment, what was it like when you were in the pursuit and you and your spouse, your paths crossed? What was going on? What was happening in your world? Do you remember? See, there is a lot of things we need to assess to find out why I may have consistently or why I have these issues in my relationships. That maybe I've been married for the second time, or maybe the third time, or it's the first time, or we seem never to be able to go more than a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, without telling each other, believing that this is not meant to be, we should just go our own separate ways. But then every time you get ready to do that, something deep inside you, something rises up and say, no, that's not the right thing to do. What is it? See, when we grow up, there are various elements that can take place that can cause us to be who we are and make it difficult in our oneness. Number one, no personal experience with oneness in the home. That means you've grown up and there was no personal experience in the home, none between the mother and the fathers. See, the numbers cannot be challenged. The closer one is to the traditional structure of child and human development, the more adaptable the individual is for challenges in the future. What does that mean? It means when a child has the benefit of a mother and a father, and I know there are exceptions. We know there are some significant exceptions. But this is overall, on the macro level, that when that child has an opportunity to be in a home with a mother and a father, that child is going to be less likely to drop out of high school, less likely to get in the game, less likely to go to prison. There's so many things that have been already researched. Now, I know there are exceptions, too. There are people that have a mother and a father home, and they end up in prison. But that's a subset, not the exact reason why. Now, there's also in our neighborhoods what we also experience. We have to deal sometimes with the personal experience of a single parent upbringing. And there are many hybrid situations on that single parent. It's not always the mother. Sometimes it could be with the mother, sometimes with the father, sometimes with a grandparent, sometimes with an older sibling, sometimes with an adopted parent, sometimes with a foster parent. There are all forms and all types of hybrid relationships, surrogate relationships that take place in our lives and the lives of many of us as we grow up. You know, so we got to know and understand all of these things that we go through. They impact our view of the world. They impact how we see other people. They impact how we come into relationships. And sometimes it's not a cognitive awareness, meaning that we don't cognitively realize that we are bringing our baggage, so to speak, into a relationship if we are not willing to improve the communication that may be necessary to work through some of those things that you don't have experience in. And how about the personal experience of divorce with a now single parent? And again, that now single parent could cause you to be with a father or with a mother, or can cause you to be with a grandparent, depending on what's going on, or an older sibling or an adopted parent. Again, all of these things impact us, whether we want to believe it or not. They impact us. And so, Tammy, you know, we hear a lot of people saying about blended families. And one of the things that I have admired about your family, and especially just watching your mother, your father, you and your siblings, you know, work it, is this how we deal with the integration of the blended family, the members of the blended family. I mean, how is that? I mean, I've never heard you all teaching in the classes on it. But why don't you share with me for a minute, what is it that has given you all this flow, this ability to deal with blended families and to deal with it in such a marvelous and loving way. What is it? What's the secret?
Well, Jesse, I don't think it's a secret whatsoever. I just think it goes back to the motto, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you just got to continue to always show as much love as possible. And I will say that, unfortunately, just people in general just don't know how to show love. They show so much hatred. And that's part of the issue, in my opinion. I think we need to show more love. We need to do more as it relates to knowing, you know, what God desires for us to do. And I just hope and I pray that we have the ability to be able to go forward and understand how would I want to be treated. Well, that's how I need to treat another individual. It relates to the blended family, especially when you're younger. I really do believe in my heart of hearts, in order for it to work, it has to be where you have, if there is a blended family where two spouses coming together with children already of their own, they have to come together, figure out how the disciplinary action is going to take place, especially when these kids are younger. They have to do more communication, more roundtable discussions on things that are going on. The thing we got to remember when it comes to a blended family, 90% of the time, you got someone that may or may not be living in your household, but come on a regular basis to come and visit. So there's going to be different rules that these children are abiding by. There may be one parent that's a little bit more strict than the other parent. There's so many factors that are in the play, that come into play when you're looking at a blended family, and you're looking at all of these scenarios. The question is, what are you as adults doing to bring two families together in holy matrimony, in love? And I really believe in my heart of hearts that it really starts there at the altar. When you're getting married, the children should be involved as much as possible based on age. The more you get them involved, the more they will start accepting that other family, and they will feel like they're a part of that new setup, if you will. And I really believe that a lot of children understand more than we give them credit for if we take the opportunity just to sit down and speak to them a little bit about what this blended family looks like and what it means. And so I hope and I pray that everybody that's a part of a blended family, that you do your necessary part to make sure that there is love that's shown, that whatever you do for one child, you do for all. You cannot play favoritism. I don't care if they live in the house or not. That's where so many people have an issue when you got, you know, a spouse that, you know, feels, thinks, and believes that another spouse is doing so much for their children that's by another man or vice versa, and they don't want to come together in the right mindset. Well, those are things that need to be discussed in that premarital class that everybody should take before you get married so that you have a better understanding of what you really need to do, how to do it, when to do it, what to do. All of these questions come into play, especially when there is a blended family. I will say that blended families can work. I will also say that it does take work. I mean, it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight. It's not going to be something that you're going to feel, think, and believe that is going to always be there, that you would be able to continue to be that individual without putting any work into it. It's not going to happen. I mean, trust me. You're going to have to start developing and building the relationships is what you're going to have. Whatever you do, you have to make sure that you do whatever you can to make sure that you are doing your part to bring all of the blended family together. So, but I'm just hoping and praying, Jesse, that anybody under the sound of our voice that is in a blended family will do the necessary work to and research to make sure that they do whatever they can to make sure that their families are coming together in oneness.
Well, I tell you what, it is a beautiful thing. When I have visited your family and witness the blended reality and the beauty thereof. It reminds me of how God must look upon blended families. I mean, there are so many, even from the beginning, you know, when we study, we see that there are blended families popping up everywhere. And I know it's not necessarily by God's design that it would be that way, but it was through the, what he called it, really the evil of man's heart. But he had already prophesied that whatever man desired to do, nothing could be constrained from him. And so when we look at it from that perspective, that nothing can be constrained from the imagination of man, it goes back to what we believe, though, to be a more central focus. And that focus is, do you believe in oneness? We believe in oneness. And so if, in fact, you believe in oneness, then we've got to get to a point to where we're willing to fight. We're willing to fight for our oneness. We're willing to do what we see going up around us. Now, this is not going to be a hate comment, what I'm about to say. This is not a hate comment. You know, but there's a movement underfoot. There's a movement where what we call the traditional marriage, the traditional family with a husband and a wife, it's being challenged constantly, all the time. And we got to understand this. We got to know this, that we ourselves must be willing to put on the gloves, so to speak, to put on our spiritual warfare. And we ourselves must know and understand there is a time for us to stand up and fight for, again, what I'm just calling this traditional nuclear marriage or oneness, a man and a wife together. Because we hear so much today. We hear more today, to be quite honest, sometimes when you hear about new laws or new breakthroughs about surrogate families or surrogate individuals. And at the end of the day, you know, we believe that oneness, true oneness, comes from the original design. And those of us that made that decision to be in that original design, then it's incumbent upon us to fight. You know, it's incumbent for us to understand the law of reciprocity as well. Because the law of reciprocity mandates the need to treat others as we want to be treated. So think about this. If you are married, you have made a determination you are going to live your life or give your life to your spouse, then why in the world would that be something that would be difficult to do? Well, some of the reasons we just gave you is because you bring baggage, you bring situations into the new marriage, into the relationship that you have never dealt with. And we're not psychologists and we're not psychiatrists, but it's just common sense. After speaking with so many people, after hearing so many different stories, we concluded that one of the biggest issues we have is that all of us may have some kind of pent-up anger, some kind of pent-up misdirection or misinformation about people, about women, about men, about this type of woman, that type of woman, about born in the north, born in the south, born on the east, born on the west, all forms of previous ideas about someone that we now have met, someone we now have married, and in many cases, someone that we now have father or mother children with. And now after doing that two or three times, we wake up one morning and say, who is this person? We have to get all of that figured out in that selection process. Remember we spoke earlier about all of the processes that we go through when we're thinking about this thing called marriage? When we was going through it, did you look and take time at all of those various elements? Take time to see, okay, if I selected this person, that was hopefully some form of a courtship. Something was going on because it had to be a mutual selection. That was this evaluation process. where you both were checking out each other. And as you were evaluating each other, perhaps there were things that, quite honestly, you overlooked. You didn't think about because you didn't give much credence to the need to look at those things. You sometimes have, we all sometimes are guilty, I believe, Tammy, of feeling that we could change somebody. Oh, we could change that person. We could change them. When in fact, you can only change yourself. That's what you should work on. But then once we get into the relationship, now we begin to acquire different things from each other. We begin to acquire a better understanding. Hopefully we begin to acquire an appreciation. We begin to acquire a deeper love, a deeper appreciation. And again, these are things that are going on. Sometimes they happen in a very short period of time. Sometimes it takes a long time to go through the process, just depending on who you are. But what's right is what's right for you, not what's right for somebody else. And then in that relationship, you begin to develop an awareness, a unique awareness of those things pertinent to your spouse to be or your spouse. And you begin to understand this is a unique individual. You begin to understand how to treat them, how to edify them, how to laugh with them. And it's not always everything is under there. You're going to have some moments. Again, one of you are going to have a moment or two. But that's why you've gone through all of these processes to know and to understand what do I do then to sustain this oneness relationship. The sustainability module is the most difficult one because all around you, the earth, people that want to whisper, people that want to say things, everything that we may see in the atmosphere is shouting at you to do this, to do that, shouting out all of the negatives, causing you to sometimes go and focus and meditate on the negatives. And why do we do that? Well, we know and already understand that God has said, whenever we go and meditate on day and night and observe to do it, we're going to be able to do that thing, and we're going to have success and prosperity in it. So if we want to have issues in our marriage, and that's all we think about, all the problems, we never think about anything good, guess what we're going to have? We're going to have issues. We're going to have issues. But now some kind of way we can cast down that imagination, and we can focus on the good things, like Philippians 4:8-6. We can just concentrate on the good things. We can edify, like Ephesians 4:29 say, we can let only the words that edify come out of our mouth, because we want them to know and understand that as I speak from my heart, you have an understanding of who I am. And so it goes back down to that old simple rule that we don't even hear much about anyway, about treating others as you desire to be treated. What would be more special than finding a way, than coming up with a way, finding a way and coming up with a way to know and to understand that that's the least that I need to do is treat my spouse the way that I would like to be treated. And I know and understand sometimes those are even difficult. They're not always cut and dry, because sometimes what one may want to do or what the other may want to do may be conflict for the other. And so we have to find a way to compromise. But tell me, share with me, what do you think as we look at this concept of oneness? And I know, you know, you have friends that's, I don't want to put you on the spot. You have friends that's never been married. I mean, I don't know how they think now. Some that ain't gotten into their late 40s, into their early 50s, or into their 60s. As we look at the concept of oneness, and I'm sure you must have had a conversation with them in some kind of way, just in general. But what is it that has caused this downward trend on marriage, and especially the ability for people to then stay married? Your mic is on.
Well, Jesse, I think it boils down to commitment. You know, to be honest, when you're going into marriage, that's a huge commitment. You're willing to say, I'm willing to give up everything that I did when I was single for the most part, and now become in oneness with the soulmate that God has strategically put together for us. And one of the things that I will say, and I do know, is in order for oneness to happen in the manner in which God desires it to be, there has to be some commitment. There has to be individuals that are totally sold out to one another and have come together and understand metaphorically really what that means when you become one with your spouse. And I hope and I pray that we do understand that, you know, just as it talks about in the Bible that you are to love your wife and wife is no different. You are to love your spouse, your husband, just as God loved the church and he gave his life up for it. And we should have a willingness in our hearts and in our spirit to have that enough of a commitment to say we're willing to give up our life for our spouse and we would do everything for them. And I think the sooner we figure that out, the better it will be. And so I really do believe that some of those that chose not to go down that road to get married and have kids, it's a huge commitment. I mean, I'm looking back over my life right now, and it's been going on 30 years now for us. And, you know, kids, we got 25-year-old children. And so life is moving on. And when I go back and reevaluate, you know, over the almost 30 years of my life, how it was before I was able to say I do and take you, you know, take you allowing my hands to be connected with yours in holy matrimony. You know, I think it's one of the best things I could have ever done in my life. But when I look back over my life, I do see how much time it consumes you when you have a family. You got to be willing to commit that time, at least the 20 years in rearing up children. And that then takes you away from your spouse a little bit, and you have to become creative in having time to yourselves as spouses. But I do believe that the number one thing that I feel the people I know that are not married and don't have kids, they put their career first. They put a lot of other things first. And then when they probably realized it was time that maybe their clock was ticking so fast, time get away from them, that now they probably feel in their heart of hearts for sure that they won't have children. But whether or not they get married, it will be solely up to them. We know the longer you're single, the more you're setting your ways. And so you would have to ask yourself, how much again am I willing to give up and commit to be in this marriage and be able to say I'm in oneness with someone? But the sooner you do it, the better off you will be. And everything you do, if it's done out of love, then you won half the battle. I mean, 1 Corinthians 16:14 tells us everything should be done in love. And that's how we should really look at life. Everything, it don't matter what it is, should be done in love. And the more we allow our hearts to be captured by the man or the woman of our lives, then we will be willing to give the time, the effort, the energy that it takes to operate in oneness. But it does take some effort from both parties.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Couldn't agree more. I know it's been a minute with us, and it's been a beautiful minute. We've had our moments, but I thank God we've never had a moment that caused any separation or anything more than a disagreement, more than a few hours. I really love that because the word talks about not allowing, you know, anger to create wrath and malice, not allowing it to get into your spirit, into your soul. And I know sometimes we all find ourselves guilty of being angry with our spouse. But God has said, hey, you got to have self-control as you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. It's our desire that you and your spouse walk in the fullness of oneness. It wouldn't be possible if God didn't create the institution. So we know it's possible. So we admonish you tonight to make sure you be found guilty of doing everything you can to create the evidence that if you had a jury of your peers that was coming to find the evidence that you walked in oneness and you believed in oneness from your spiritual to your mental, emotional, social, physical, financial, all of the facets, all of that wheel that make up our life, you know, that you have been found guilty as relates to your family, your friends, your neighbors, and the things that you do, you are found guilty of doing everything you can to walk in and to show the world a life, an example of oneness. If you've been married 5 years or 50, it doesn't matter. You have a responsibility when you are married to walk in oneness. So you do influence, whether you realize it or not, so many other people. And once we come to that understanding, we'll do everything we can to make sure that the decision we made to be with our spouse is also valued by others. Father God, we thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor for this time together. We believe in oneness. We thank you, Father. We pray, Father, also for Empowerment Ministry will be on right behind us, 9 o'clock. I want to encourage all of our listening audience to dial back in at that time where they will hear the ministry gifts of our very own Lil Killings. And we thank God for each and every one of you as we ask you to pray for us as we pray for you. For we all, regardless of who we are, how long we've been married, what we may do, how often we pray, how many times we may have a song in our heart, we all need prayer. Father, bless them and keep them, those that are listening live and those that are in the archives, until we meet again. God bless you. Always walk in peace. Always walk in love. And know that you are able, you are capable, because you believe that all things are possible, including your oneness. And all in agreement, simply said, amen and amen.
Agape love.